All right, let's open our Bibles this evening, brothers and sisters. Back into 1 Thessalonians, we're in the 5th chapter. We left off in the 12th verse. And tonight, God willing, we're going to begin the conclusion of the first letter. And, you know, as I got into it, I thought, okay, Lord, we only have so many verses left and kind of short. And, well, I'll tell you, I think it's just going to be too much. And God willing, if we get to the 18th verse tonight, we've done well. So we're just going to leave it to Him, and we don't want to just brush over anything. And I appreciate Brother Hill a long time ago asking him about reading something, and he said, read it slow. Just read it slow, son, and really ask the Spirit to reveal it to your heart. So, but tonight we're going to, as we get into this conclusion, we're going to find that it's so sweetly all about attitude. I want to have not just a good attitude, but by the grace of God, I want to have a godly attitude, because that's going to be good. That's going to be pleasing to the Lord. And specifically, this is going to try our hearts in that, do we possess the godly attitude that exudes from those who are going to be ready to meet the Lord at the first trump? This is truly the attitude of the wife that is ready. And as the Lord was bringing this to my heart, it's like taking an inventory for each one of us. Where are we? Where are we spiritually? Kind of a reality check. Sometimes we're a little bit different outwardly than we, in a sense, sometimes are inwardly. You know what I'm saying? And I believe it's a time of great introspection in our hearts that, you know, Lord, cause me to will and to do of your good pleasure. Make me into what you see. Make me what you would want me to be. Allow me to be willing to do your will. And those are some big true convictions of the heart, brothers and sisters. And we're at a juncture that Jesus could come at any time. And I believe by the grace of God, we want to be ready. There's no way we want to miss that triumphant return by the grace of God, to be with Him at the beginning of the Lord's day. What a treat, what a treasure. But in that, we've talked about this before. Where are you in the seven churches tonight? You'll find yourself somewhere. Revelation in those seven churches. Where is your spiritual state of well-being at this time? And by the grace of God, I hope for each and every one of us, we're strumming a song of the Church of Philadelphia, that God has us there, and that we're ready to see Christ. So let's go ahead and dive in, and we'll start in the 12th verse. And it says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them." And that's to be aware. Don't just pass over, but to be aware of them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now, this 12th and 13th verse is bringing out the bridal attitude toward sincere ministers of the Word of God. And this is referring to true ministers, brothers and sisters, specifically true ministers of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message. And these are the ones that Paul here is encouraging them that are within their church, or the ones that would be coming to visit with them, Timothy here shortly, of the things of God and the depth of the message that was being brought. Do we realize how privileged we are to have this message? Now, we know it's all God's doing. It's all God performing this. Absolutely. But to be thankful for brothers and sisters, truly, that are running the race, that are preaching the Word, that are teaching the things of God, that God has encouraged to be faithful. It's not the faithfulness that lies in you in a sense of your faithfulness. It's God's faithfulness in you. And that's what the Lord has always encouraged me to compliment by His grace, is the faithfulness of God in you. Now, we do break up the fallow ground. That's the yielding. And that's what God has called us to, and that's what each one of us can do, is, Lord, allow me to be open to Your will. Allow me to want to hear the Word of God, and in this especially, is to be thankful for those that are bringing the truth. And true ministers, brothers and sisters, are those true and faithful to the calling. And I think of how many that have started out that were true and faithful to the calling, but got on a path that started to depart. I heard a minister, very famous minister. He had a daddy that truly loved the Lord, would preach the doctrine. And this young man began in his early ministry preaching the Word of God, preaching the doctrine. But then I heard him on an interview, and it was so sad, and you knew what was going on, and you could see the church, in a sense, going amok in the gospel, in the Word of God. Sure, the numbers were growing, but where was the Word of God? And they asked him, do you preach doctrine? And it was straight as could be. Do you preach doctrine in that church anymore? He says, we don't preach doctrine anymore. People don't want to hear that. Now, that's absolutely a departure from anything in the Word of God, and especially from the calling of Paul. We're to preach that doctrine. We're to love that doctrine. We're to dwell in that doctrine by the grace of God. And where would we be without it? Well, just the flotsam, as Brother Hill used to talk about. But these are the Timothy preach the word ministers, not unfaithful, untrue, or those that are doing it for personal or financial gain. But most importantly, brothers and sisters, these are the ministers that are truly the ones that are appointed and anointed of the Word of God and by God Himself. And in that, I want you to first notice that word over. And this means something, just like every word in the Word of God does. But this is precious to my heart. This word over you, it means to tend to. It means to protect. It means to guide. It means to care. Now, some don't like to hear this. Some just, and I think, want sometimes just someone to be a mouthpiece or a monitor or something of that nature. I really don't know. But it's precious to my heart. But I think how sad it is when people don't want this, because this is the Word of God. It should be a comfort to you that God has placed someone that is anointed by Him to tend the flock. It's not of a man. Brothers and sisters, it is a God-given ability. It is a God-given gift. Anything that we have, we know that God has given us. And look at what these ministers are instructed to do. They are to admonish. I was visiting with a sister today, and praise God, they're gonna the kids are gonna get together, and they're gonna have a musical, maybe a possible ministering event. We really don't know what's gonna happen. But I did admonish. I said, let's just make sure by the grace of God that we have sincere hearts, that truly we want to magnify and give all the glory to Him. Brothers and sisters, we're in a very precious time. But the devil is so subtle, and he's getting in to grace meetings. Sure, he wants to attack things like this. He knows he can't keep us out of heaven. But I'm going to tell you one thing. He's doing his best to steal the crown that God says, hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. By the grace of God, we need to stand. We're in a day that to stand is the most vital thing we could ever do. And we need to stand in truth and love, and to stand for the tradition, the wonderful principles of the Lord that He has given us, that wonderful high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But we are instructed to admonish, and that means to warn. And you think, warn about what? Well, what I just said, to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Brothers and sisters, we're about to go through the finish line. It's about over. I want you, by the grace of God, to finish one way, and that's to finish with joy. That's going to win him. The joy unspeakable and full of glory. The same joy that Jesus Christ, when He was upon that cross, that's why He endured it. He could see that joy. That's the same joy He wants in our hearts as we go through this. Lord, it is worth it all. Allow me, God, to finish this with joy. Help me to keep my affections and my heart set upon the things above. To let go of the things of this earth. They're not that important. And they're going to defeat me from God's very best if I don't get aware of what God is calling me to. So this is the wonderful calling that we have. But as Brother Copley brings out, we warn by the grace of God always in love and with tenderness, yet always with firmness. And it's the truth. I love you, but I love you enough to give you the truth. I do. I love you. I love you enough by the grace of God in His enabling, I'm going to stand. And then in standing, as we unite in that wonderful spirit, we're going to stand together in Him. And we're going to withstand. And having done all, we're going to stand before Him someday, praise God. And He's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Hallelujah. What a privilege to stand in the things of God. But it's advising and chastening. Did you hear that? Advising and chastening. A lot of people love to hear the wonderful, comforting things of advising. And saying, you know, go this way, or that's wonderful. But I'll tell you what, there's very few that can endure the chastening. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If we will endure the chastening, that's when the love is truly poured out in our life. When we can be so humble in our before our wonderful Lord to say, Lord, I'll take that correction. See, that was the problem with the Corinthians. They were getting a lot of correction, but most of them weren't willing to take it. They were just too holy in themselves. They knew too much of the Scripture. Oh, I've been sitting in living waters all this time. How long have you been here? Come on now. You see where I'm going with this? By the grace of God, it's His work. All right? Has nothing to do with the building. It has everything to do with Christ in me, the hope of glory. And it does. And as I read about these dear Thessalonians, I'm thrilled about them. We're talking about 3 weeks of messages. Can you imagine how incredible God came in and just blessed those folks because they had an open heart to hear Him. And their brother Paul was years with the Corinthians and they still didn't get it. Couldn't even pound it into him. And I'm not saying he was doing that either, but he would have. But you see, it's got to be a heart that's open and acceptable to God and His corrections. These Thessalonians, these people were very cerebral people. If you look at this area that they were in, these ones were studied. They knew things. And yet, you know what? They had willing hearts. Lord, I need You. This is the very God of very God. And not only that, but this brother Paul truly is anointed. And he has a message of the mystery of what God is bringing forth, that we, these Gentiles, can be fellow heirs or joint heirs as man and wife with Jesus Christ. And you know what? By the grace of God, they ate it up. Isn't that awesome? Well, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know that He's still dealing with hearts. And I know there's still company of people that are going to eat this up. And by the grace of God, be in that bride of Christ. So, hallelujah, if by the grace of God, we would be fit to be in that company. Praise His name. So, going on, it says, esteem them. And not just highly, but very highly in love. This is important. And brothers and sisters, truly this is to ministers. But how about to one another? Because don't we all truly have a ministry for the things of God? Now I understand He's talking about those are over. But I really want to apply this to the whole flock. Because as we have been rejoicing in Psalm 133, He said that we would dwell together. Settle down in marriage to appreciate one another. Now, anymore, I can't use a natural application of appreciating in marriage because over half of marriages end in divorce anymore. But I'm talking about the way that God divinely wants a marriage to be. Where you settle down and you appreciate and you're thankful and you love and you want to dwell together and you don't want to get away. And you love to hear one another's voice. And it's a sweet thing in communion. And that's how God wants His people. And especially this people at this time. And it's so precious to me how He says to esteem them, but not just highly, but very highly in love. And that word love is none other than the agape love. It's the highest love. It's the divine love. And this is the love, brothers and sisters, that we will have if we truly do have a bridal attitude heart towards ministers that truly are preaching the full counsel of God. Do you appreciate it? I believe you do. You wouldn't be here. But brothers and sisters, we need to earnestly, fervently, very highly love them. And I'm thankful to God, the letters that I get from a brother Hawkins, from a brother Smith, from a brother Hines, they're just overwhelmed with the love of God from the people in this meeting as they come and give forth His Word. So aren't we thankful? Praise the Lord that, again, you encourage people like that. Hebrews 13:7 goes on to say, remember them, that's Hebrews 13:7, remember them that have rule over you, obey them, salute them. But remember this too, as unto the Lord, always as unto the Lord. Now, a true minister, you can see the overwhelming responsibility. Absolutely overwhelming. But that's why I'm so thankful. Brothers and sisters, I told you a long time ago, I praise God that He convinced me, Lord, it's got to be Your work. I'm absolutely 110% dependent upon You and Your enabling. And I ask Him daily to cause me to live the testimony of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I mean that. I ask Him, Lord, enable me. Enable me not to do anything that would take away from Your wondrous word or Your work. And brothers and sisters, I hope that we do know this, that as we come together, we're feasting jointly upon the messages that come from this pulpit. We're eating and feeding on this together. God is growing us up. And we need this word, and we're jointly coming into this, and it's precious. And I was thinking as the Lord was bringing this to me, the response, the godly response of esteeming very highly in love, it does what no other gift can do for a minister. Did you hear that? Esteeming very highly in love does more than anything we could ever ask. It should mean everything to a pastor because it reflects the message being built in your life, the accomplishment of Christ maturing you. For that day is the greatest thank you and the most and greatest expression of I love you, Pastor. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, let's go on verse 13 through 15. And this is the second half of 13. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now, this is the bridal attitude toward the body of Christ, the church, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and all mankind, because it says to all men as well. And you'll notice as we start to get into these next two verses, there are seven instructions that are given here. Seven. No coincidence. Spiritual perfection. It's going to be a mature son of God that has this wonderful fruit in their life. But first we read here, be at peace among yourselves. We touched on it, the 133rd Psalm. Dwell together. Settle down in marriage. I appreciate how Brother Hill would tell different ones as they would come into the meeting. Just go sit down and listen. So simple. Settle down. Receive the Word of God. You'll grow up. It's going to take some time. It just does. It's that way. It's line upon line. It's precept upon precept. I told you as I've driven in the mountains many times, that little corridor as you start to go up there into Lookout Mountain, and there's those rocks. And I walked up there one time as a kid, and they were telling me about how each layer was here and there, and I don't know how many millions or billions of years ago it was. But what caught my eye even as a kid was those fine little teeny weeny weeny layers. There were these giant ones and all, but there were so many little layers. And how the Lord even touched my heart back then. Lord, that meant something. It meant something great. That was part of the building. And brothers and sisters, it takes that line upon line and precept upon precept. here a little, there a little. It becomes our life. And sometimes we'll have these great growth spurts, and I've seen a lot of them coming now. And it's wonderful to see. I see it in my kids. You know, they're teenagers. You put them to bed and sometimes they wake up and they're 3 inches taller. And that's the truth. And you know what? That's what God's doing in some cases. He's increasing us at an increasing rate. But often, when we're the ones that are growing, do we really see it? Do we really notice it sometimes? No. It's like when people, as a kid, when they'd see me, man, it looks like you've grown. I don't think I've grown. But they're seeing it from a different perspective. They're seeing that growth. We might just be in, obviously, that day-to-day. We're caught up into that. God, allow me to get the vision. And that sweet vision is Paul. I'm glorying in that man. He's given me a vision of that. And Lord, I know by the grace of God, that wasn't just for Paul. Oh, no. By the grace of God, that's for me too. And you'll grow me up into that. So that's the growth, that this bridal attitude, this spiritual perfection that he's talking about here. But be at peace among yourselves. And you think about that Corinthian study that we had, that God brought us. And those Corinthians, how out of control they were. They were always trying to one-up the other. Instead of resting and being content in the body where God had placed them. It's like the nose wanting to be an ear and the elbow wanting to be an eye. That would be a pretty funny, weird-looking contraption. It wouldn't be right because it's out of order. God wants us to seek that peace and rest in Him and be content where God has placed us in the body. It always is interesting to me and to my personal life and watching others when we wrestle with God. I had a sweet brother remind me about Jacob the other day, and it really struck my heart so sweetly. He said, there was Jacob wrestling with God for something which was far less than what God had already given him. Isn't that the way it is? Oh God, I'm going to wrestle with you, as he said, I'm going to wrestle with you for a tenth of it. And you know, God's just scratching his head. Don't you get it? I've already given you everything. It's there. You don't need to wrestle with Him. You just need to allow Him. Say, Lord, let me be stubborn. Let me get the eyes of the heavenly vision on. And let me receive from You. And how precious that is when we can settle down in Him. But really, what struck me here about this seeking peace, be still. Be still and know that I am God. Study to be quiet. Isn't that something? Quick to listen. Ooh. Slow to speak. Huh? Oh yeah. That's what brings peace. When we focus on ourselves, when we want to be heard, that's the evidence of an unrestful spirit. And it is. It's evidence of something that's not at peace. All right? Warn them. Warn them. Admonish. Praise God. All right. I hope we're in it. Warn them that are unruly is the second one. That means disorderly. It also goes on to say, and I think it's so precious, unruly, you're out of rank. Isn't that something? See, the Lord, He's got it always perfect. Out of rank. And I thought, how on the mark? He's talking to first rank believers here, isn't He? He's giving this word to those that would be in the first rank. Every man in his own order. The ones that would meet the Lord in the air. Praise God. And that's our calling, brothers and sisters. And if we are being admonished to fall in line, I hope that we wouldn't buck up against it. How about you? Are we willing? I hope we're a willing people. God help us. We need to be pliable. I think so many times we get fixed on our way and we want to be something that cannot be formed. Let me tell you something. You want to be pliable for God. That masterpiece is coming one way, and it's in His hands. And we need to want to be that clay that can be molded after His perfect will. And if we're still drawing breath, He's still molding you. You're not finished. I'm not finished. I promise you. We get that straight every morning. Huh? Okay, you're feeling really good about yourself, son? I'm going to show you something. whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Isn't that something? Well, I'll tell you, Lord, you got a lot of work on this one. Praise His name. But see, I think by the grace of God, in sincerity, when we approach Him that way and say, Lord, that's the facts, that's the truth of it all. Boy, He can do something in our life. He really can. Praise God. But He says here that we'd be out of rank. It's a demotion, brothers and sisters, that I would never want. I want to win Him. By the grace of God, I want to win Him. And I guess I ask myself this, is it worth being unruly? Is it really worth being unruly so much that I'd be left behind? Is there something to fight against that was worth fighting that much for, that was outside of the things that I knew God had planned and what He has told me in this Word, just because I didn't like somebody? Maybe I have a grudge against someone. Maybe I think it should be a different way. Or do I realize that, you know what, Lord, this is Your work. That's what's worth it. You start to get unruly, and this is the warning. Remember, He's talking to the first rank believers. These are the ones that are going to be ready. They're at peace. There is a peace that passes understanding. And I hope we find ourselves at times. And I think it's amazing. I think some things that I'm starting to go with, the Lord's bringing me through with my kids, that I know I could have never rested in. And God is starting to allow me to rest. To say, Lord, I know You've got this under control. And I just sit there back in amazement and think, that's not me. There's no way I could be like that. Well, there's no way we could be like Jesus. Only He can make us like that. And thanks be to God that He gets us into that type of a spirit. All right. Comfort the feeble-minded. That means calm and encourage the faint-hearted. This is a call to love and patience. And I was thinking, sometimes we really do get impatient with one another, don't we? What happens if God got impatient with you? Huh? We'd be in a lot of trouble, wouldn't we? Think of the patience that our dear Lord has had with us. Looking out there, and I was thinking, so there's some lives out there that took a long time to even come to salvation. Long time to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Long time to start settling down, calling out and say, I'll go. I'll go. That's patience. Praise God. That is patience, and that's our Jesus Christ. You think of how that Lord, in His great tender mercy, as He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Let me tell you something. God was really riled up at that time. He was ready to get something done, I think. But He said, oh Lord, my God, forgive them. I'm here. The Lamb is here. The patience, it's the epitome of patience. I've got all the patience. And He's working on us, brothers and sisters. So thanks be to God. But it's that same patience that the Lord is calling us to. See, some saints, brothers and sisters, they have but a little faith. And the whole plan is for us to grow. And to grow in that faith, isn't it now? To stand in it. To finish with joy. So brothers and sisters, we must lift up the arms of the weary and be mindful of the weaker brethren. We have to be. I appreciate that. I've told you that about Brother Hill before. I was wondering why he wasn't taking time, whether it was with myself a little bit or some others. He said, son, you're fine. There's some others that need a little more help. Are we okay with that? Are we okay with that? Amen. Come on, brothers and sisters. We need to understand this. That there are those that need that time, that extra lift. And that goes on to support the weak, which is the next one. It's similar to the feeble-minded, but this means to endure. And this means to endure as Christ endured the cross. Love even those that would despise the calling. Well, that's a tough one sometimes, isn't it? Have brothers or sisters that have kind of, and even natural brothers and sisters in your family that they've just kind of despised it. Well, come on, don't you want to go to church anymore? Don't you want the things of God? Don't you want your life really to change for the better? Are you tired of living heartache after heartache after heartache? Before it's too late and your house is burning down, don't you think it's time Never stop praying for them. Don't give up. God didn't give up on you. Don't give up. Be fervent in prayer. Pray for them. Sometimes you do get downright angry, because I know I do. Come on! I want to pin some ears back. But you know, a lot of times it doesn't work. Most time it never does. It's just by the grace of God living a testimony. And God makes that way. He gives that intercession through His wonderful Spirit. And He'll open a door, and there will be a moment, and it will be such a divine moment. And it might be one word. But I'll tell you one thing, that word's always going to be Jesus. Don't you realize it's Jesus that you need? Don't you realize it's Jesus that will fix this? And it's never too late to start. It hurts your heart to see wasted years, but never give up by the grace of God. He never gave up on us. And as we said earlier, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God, give us that kind of heart. You know what I'm saying? Really. God, give us that kind of heart. For unbelievers, this is for all men as well too. What a place this really could be. And see, you can see when the love of God really gets in your life, it makes it right. It can be wicked around you. It can be sinful. I was rejoicing about Brother Joseph. How you think about that sweet boy. And he was a sweet kid. You know he had to be sweet. And where did God send him? He didn't send him to church camp. He didn't send him to divinity school. He sent him right in the throes of Egypt. He sent him right into the world, to the most ungodly of the ungodly. He sent him into the rulers' houses. Not to the servants that might have had some class. I mean, we were going right to the wicked, wicked rulers. The Potiphar's wife that was coming after him. The sin that was so entrenched. God sent him there divinely to show God's faithfulness in that man's life. Isn't that wonderful? I just thrill about that. God even gave him an Egyptian wife that I'll guarantee you loved the Lord. Yeah, and she did. Don't try to put Christians in this. Don't. Can't. We're dealing with the infinite God. All right? So that's why we don't give up. We have hope. We have the real hope. Keep praying. And it's not just living, you know, roses and sunshine. I'm living glory because I know He can. All right, number five, patient toward all men. Patient toward all men. This is the 70 times 70 patient. And this is far more than an act. You know, a lot of people can act patient. I can't act patient. It don't work. Ask my wife. But it's Christ living in me. It's the real deal. It's the effectual work of the Lord coming out. And in that reality, it makes a difference. This is the patience that reaches those that are stubborn. Really. This is kind of, you see how one kind of begats the other as we're talking about this, of this attitude of the heart of the bride. And what I mean by this patience that finally reaches those that are stubborn is when we're patiently abiding in Him and truly trusting, you'll see those baby steps happen. I do. And by the grace of God, you do. The Word of God never returns void. You got to remember that. Something finally clicks in the true appreciation of godliness reigning in somebody. I'm telling you something. That's worth it. It is worth it. And it's worth it to have the patience. And God's patience in us. It hopes. Do you believe He's still hoping? Do you believe the Savior is still calling today? You know it. You absolutely know it. And I can just say, Lord, draw me. Praise God. All right. Then rendering evil for evil. That's pretty obvious. But notice here, it's to any man. You know, sometimes we step out of the church and say, well, I could give that guy a zinger. He's going to hell anyways. It's not the attitude He wants us to have. It says to any man. I wonder how I think of like things like that, huh? Yikes. It's Christ working on me. All right. So Christ's life, His life spoke of this humility, didn't it? It just was. I mean, you turn the other cheek. Look what they did to Him. They tear His beard, spit on Him. And really, all they could do is say, Father, forgive them. They're just incensed. They just don't know what they're doing. They don't. It's that sin. And isn't that wonderful, the the compassion that our wonderful Lord had on sin. He did. He had that compassion as that sin was attacking and attacking those people. And as it attacks us, He has that compassion towards us. And Father, you know, my blood, it can take care of all of it. I just am so grateful to God. But brothers and sisters, may He grow in us to seek peace with all men. That's the next one. And that doesn't mean compromising truth. I guess what I was thinking here, again, I'll just put my own life up for an example. How about avoid stirring it up? I want to stir up the gift that's within me. I don't want to stir up the ungodliness that might be in somebody else. But, you know, God help us that there's enough going on already. He tells us in the Word of God, do good unto them that despitefully use you. And then finally, brothers and sisters, it says, follow good among saints and sinners. Follow good. The word that hits me there is consistency. I think I find so seldom consistency in Christians. And what I mean by that is to not lead the so common double life of a Christian. We're one way on a Sunday, and then we go back out into the world and we're a completely different creature. One way around the people of God, another way around our friends, in a sense, in the world. See, godly living and bridal living is truly a complete, finished follow-through. It follows through in every part of our life. It does. She's a wife. She's a faithful wife. She loves her husband. She talks about her husband. She shows people about her husband. She loves to call her husband. She's always in prayer. She's continuing that way. She talks to him. She communicates with him. Think how beautiful this is. That we're following good. How God does that. You know, you can't help but live for Him and love like Him when we are in love with Him. When we're in love with Him, we'll be like Him. You understand by the grace of God how much He really loves us. And they say a lot of things happen in this life. Well, when that happens, glory happens. And glory happens in you. You start to live a life of praise. You can't help but be thankful. There is. It's different. Things continue on at an increasing rate in the things of God. And it's towards everyone. And that word follow there, it means to catch. And I thought this was really wonderful. It means to catch that which is excellent. Catch that which is honorable. God's giving that to you. Bring it with you. He's giving these things out. We're blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I kind of think of, you know, they're all around me. Lord, let me just open my hands by the grace of God and receive from you. Brother Hill used to say it like this. Don't come to God with your fists closed. Come like this. He'll fill them full of jewels. Well, these are the jewels. Praise the Lord. And He will fill them up. Praise His name. And I guess as we finish this little section here, do you see what a difference that you can make? And this isn't to try to be cliche of what the world will say about, you know, one person can make a difference. Yeah, one person and God can make a great difference. And you can make a difference. And, you know, we can go through this world and give people what they deserve. You can go through this life and give people what they deserve. Or we can live godly and give people what Jesus Christ came to give them. You know that? We can be representatives of that. We can be the light. And what a difference that can make in people's lives. I had an incident with some police officers. And I have wonderful friends and acquaintances that are wonderful police officers. These happened to be the complete opposite of that. And they were dealing with children, and it was so tragic. And I had to tell them. And I did do it in love. But it was firm. I said, see, it's guys like you that cause kids like this to not respect officers. That don't have, you know, confidence in law enforcement and things of that nature. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we only get one chance. One chance. And you've heard it. The first impression is the last impression. And what we've been given, and to whom much is given, much is required. Christ liveth in me. Great responsibility. You think of it in that natural world with those policemen. How much more with a Christian? And how much more with a saint that has been given and is receiving the high calling of God in Christ Jesus' message? Yeah, there's a lot there. So many sermons in that. But godliness is life-changing. A testimony can lead a sinner to Christ. And the world is watching. And as Brother Paul said, let me bring no offense to the gospel. All right, we have a few minutes and we'll go ahead and tackle 16 through 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now this is the attitude of the bride's very heart. Rejoice evermore. Does the Word of God tell us to rejoice sometimes? Does the Word of God tell us to rejoice pretty much? Only in the good things? Nope. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. This is the heart of a wife that is always grateful for her husband. She may have some days that are better than others. Now, this is God we're talking about. And most important, this is Jesus Christ we're talking about. We're talking about some kind of husband. So there's never an excuse that we don't just delight in everything He does. Sorry, guys. But that's the attitude, really, the attitude that we should have towards our wonderful, by the grace of God, our bridegroom-to-be. She rejoices in His love. You rejoice in His love for you? That's what I rejoice in. Because I know sometimes, you know what? I don't abide faithful. But He always does. His love is always there. And then when I even think about that, as He's causing me by grace to be faithful, I just enlarge and increase that much more. God, I'm so thankful for Your faithfulness. I'm so thankful for Your faithfulness in my brothers and sisters. I see some things that You're going through. By the grace of God, You share them with me. We pray together. And you know what? Just keep chalking it up to His faithfulness. Boom, boom, boom. He's able. He is able. And I believe there's willing hearts for that victory to come and to rest and to make its home there. But she rejoices, praise God, in His love. In His love for her that covers a multitude of sorrows. It covers a multitude of distresses. It makes that affliction light. It begins to understand when I love Him and His love for me, I understand this is just temporary stuff. His soon coming is her attraction and motivation for life itself. I was thinking the simplicity that the Lord hit me with the other day. Lord, I'm just waiting for You to come. Just waiting. Thankfully waiting. Anticipating You. Going through this life. Thank God for the life You've given me. But really, I'm just so simply, I'm waiting to see You. What a moment it's going to be. And how could we not always rejoice in that, brothers and sisters, with the great love wherewith we are loved? Think of that. That's what we rejoice in, is His love. And then next it says, pray without ceasing. Now this is a natural byproduct of rejoicing in her husband. It's communication. It's the communion that we have with Him. And it's continual. Notice here, it said, pray without ceasing. There's no intermissions. This is a serious attraction. Do you go throughout the day thinking of your Lord? I believe you do. Doesn't mean necessarily we're down on our knees, even though that's a great place to be a lot of times. But I understand at work and different things. Are you thinking of Him? Lord, it's just so mighty. And I mean, He might draw your mind to this or that, but it's always being drawn to faith. I got to think about an issue. Okay, my child or something like that has this coming up on them and everything. But immediately it's to the heavenly and God, You're taking care of it. That's the communication with Him. When that same thought would go to something of fear, we know that we're not operating in the perfect love that He's given us. He wants us to operate in that faith. And that's the communication and the love that He's talking about that He wants us to have. And, you know, you think about it. I'm grateful to God. I speak throughout the day with my wife. I do. And when we would, you know, be apart and everything, we'd call one another and talk to each other. I want to know what's going on. You know, sometimes people that don't talk to each other very much, I don't know how you do it, but I think you need to communicate a little bit more. I know the ladies are all going like this. The guys are going, oh, what's he saying? Please, no. We need to communicate. We do. In love. communicate with grunts and groans and all these things, but in love, really. Pour out our hearts. The Lord will take care of it. But really, we speak to one another throughout the day. We want to know what's going on. And how about the bottom line? Do you really love to hear your spouse's voice? I think many of you do. Now, if you don't, you need to pray. But we're talking about the spiritual here. And how much more should we love to hear our Savior's voice? And here's His voice. It's the Word of God. He walks with you and He talks with you. And He sings you these sweet songs, doesn't He, every day? Isn't that precious? And He loves to hear your voice. He loves to hear you calling out to Him. Jesus, I love You. Thank You for what You're doing in my life. I was thanking God today. I'm so grateful to know I have purpose. I'm thankful to know God's plan. I'm thankful to know that this isn't just an accident or it's a coincidence. I know by the grace of God, He is concerned with every thought, every step, every event, every incident, everything. He's all-consuming that way. And I love that. Maybe I am that insecure of a person. But I'm going to tell you something. I want to just be that way so I can be secure in Him. Amen? Amen. All right. So that's your strength. That is Him. And you think about how much He loves us. And we'll move along here. Philippians 4:6, it says everything by prayer. Ephesians 6:18 and Colossians 1:3 says praying always. See, it's the epitome of the worshiping bride is this prayer, this communication. She can't get away from it because she loves Him. The four living ones in Revelation, they're always worshiping. They're always worshiping. Every time you read about them, they're worshiping. It's precious. Praise be to God. And then finally, we'll wrap it up here. In everything, give thanks. Whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Now, brothers and sisters, that could be the hardest one. Absolutely, we know it. It doesn't seem nice or comfortable or all these things when we're going through these trials. It's not pleasant. But when we know Him, we know there's nothing greater. There's nothing greater than the trying of our faith. We talked about glory last Sunday. By the grace of God, if He tarry, we're going to go to another glory. I'm going to tell you, it's just growing in excitement. And it is. But this is what He's talking about. This is how we get to those glories, is understanding, God, You can make myself, make my heart thankful. See, when you know it's perfect, think of that. When you know that your steps are ordered, when you know that it's the good works that were before ordained, when you know that He is perfecting that which concerns you, how could you not but be thankful? So, do you see what it's kind of getting at? And we've said this years back, great thankfulness and being thankful in everything is the proof of great faith. When you're not thankful, you don't have great faith. Because you're not believing in God's plan. You're not believing that God is for you. You're doubting Him. You are. You're questioning God. And Lord, do You really love me? How could You let this happen? And you hear that often. And you hear that often from Christians. I've heard that from my own life. God forbid, I don't want to be like that. Lord, I know You love me. And I'm asking, I need more grace. I got to go in there and get it to believe You, that You're for me, absolutely for me, that You're not going to withhold anything good for my life. You're going to pour it all on. Now help me to get the heavenly vision and understand that this is the way I must go, because this is the path, the before ordained good work path that You've asked me that I should walk in. Praise God. So important to our lives, brothers and sisters. And all of this rejoicing and praying without ceasing and thankfulness in everything, it's so precious. It's the will of God. People always ask, what is the will of God? It's all over the Word of God. He tells you what it is. And look at those wonderful three things. It's rejoicing all the time. It's praying without ceasing. It's thankfulness in everything. And that will for us is always in one and only one place, and that's in Christ. That's it. It's so absolutely simple. He always brings us back to His Son. I was talking to a lady today, and she was talking about infant baptism. and all of these different things that they're just distractions. I said, what does the Word of God say? I was bringing her back. She's a Christian. What does the Word of God say about baptism? What must happen for you to be baptized? When those ones in the Bible asked, well, what prevents me from being baptized? You have to believe in Him. And thou mayest. That's simple. I'm going to have a lot of wet babies. I don't know. We laugh, but God forbid that people would be confident in that as their salvation. And there are thousands and millions of people that believe that. Now, it's not so funny, is it, when you think of the light of eternity? No. The bride, brothers and sisters, exudes and operates perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's Colossians 4:12. A heart that by grace has become one with Jesus Christ, that calls out to the Father, Thy will be done. Thy will be done, Lord. Thy will be done. Completely convinced of His workmanship, and that the good work which He has begun, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, we thank You for Your Word. We're grateful for drawing our hearts this evening. Thank You for brothers and sisters that love Your Word. We ask that You would allow this to grow in our lives. Make it real, Lord. Allow it to be feasted upon, that we would magnify You, that truly You're bringing us to another glory. If You tarry this week, encourage each and every life here. Give them the strength to finish it out with the joy unspeakable and full of glory. Help us to truly reflect upon Your Word this evening. God, help us to want this wonderful fruit, this wonderful attitude to be imputed and implanted in our lives, that God, we would live for You. We just thank You again for this wondrous opportunity. Thank You, God, that we can redeem the time. In Jesus' name, amen.